Got that? Okay, let's have some little pen chase. Do you have an extra pen for Chase? So how many of you feel comfortable with what you've written down in your imaginary conversation with your atheist friend? I mean, raise your hand if you feel comfortable.
As far as I went, yeah.
Okay. It's okay? Okay. Well then, let's try something a little bit different before we'll go over this, because this is part of your conversation with them. Let's have Rodney come up here. Okay? No, that's fine. You can just stand right there. Okay? And just at the top of your head, just like you're talking to me or talking to the class, can in a nutshell kind of just explain your argument for the existence of God based upon the existence of man and the personhood of man. If you have any notes you want to look at, that's fine, but
well, basically, the existence of man, if you look at the complexity of the organism of man just by itself, is an argument. There is no possible way that man could come to be if there was not a creator, if there was not a God that intentionally set about to create an organism as complex and detailed as the human body is. I mean, it's if it were without a creator, it would be a freak of nature. And the kind of freak of nature I'm talking about is if you took all the parts for a Swiss watch and put it in the back and shook it, I don't care how long you shake it, eventually the freak of nature is that it will assemble itself into a watch. It'll never happen. It just can't happen. There's too many variables, too many precise things that have to happen in order to create such a detailed organism. So,
okay. There you go. Okay. So the atheist would reply what?
A lot of times they'll reply that, I believe that...
anything is possible given enough time.
That's right.
That is their standing back, okay? Now,
that's where I would bring in the law of entropy.
Yeah.
Okay, and you have the law of entropy, but, all right. Very good, thanks. Okay. Debbie, you get to come up here.
I wasn't here last week, so I'm really...
Okay.
I'm really rusty.
What have we taught you so far? So people are like looking away like, am I going to be called up front here? And so don't worry about it. Okay. What have we talked about so far? And if you were to have a conversation with your friend or you're talking to, giving a speech, how would you lay out your argument for the existence of God through the existence of man?
How would I lay it out?
Yeah, based upon what we've gone over.
Oh man, I'm going to throw up.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, right.
They don't have an answer for that.
It's a convincing argument. Maybe I'll leave. But
yeah.
No. My argument for the existence.
If you... Anyone else want to help her then? If she's a little stage fright, a little nervous. What have I taught you?
The law of cause and effect.
The what?
Law of cause and effect.
It's just the anthropological argument for the existence of God. Brian, do you remember anything that we've talked about in the last few weeks? Okay. Chase, how about you? Anything that you've, what we've gone over the last 6 weeks that helped her?
That science changes all the time. Why do you?
Okay, but specifically, what did I teach you about this argument? Because even Rodney didn't go there. Right. Rodney did talk about generally, you know, and I'm doing this for a reason, folks. I'm not picking on anybody. But what did I say that
rationality of.
Okay, yeah. What else? Rationality's part of it, but. Anybody know what the answer? What?
Well, the mind of man is conscious and and.
Okay, yeah. There you go. Keep going. What else? It's based upon what? You remember, Marie? Because we talked about it a little bit. You had some of this stuff. Okay. Chase, do you have anything you want to add? Anything you can remember?
Personal.
Okay, so then if someone were to ask you then, Chase, if you proved to me the existence of God, you would probably really struggle to do that, right? If someone said, prove to me that God exists, you would struggle to answer that question, right? Then how would you answer it then? What scientific evidence do you have for that?
So you have to have all knowledge of that if you have not met the
person. Okay. What does that mean?
So, for instance, I have met God. Okay, let's say I met you, right?
Okay.
And then you moved away, and then someone else tried to say that you never existed. Well, they don't have all knowledge. They've never met the person.
Okay. Have I ever talked about that in this class the last 2 months? No, I have not. What have I asked, and this I'm not picking on you, Chase, what if, because you stumbled on it, you said it. Believe
God
it.
Is personal.
Personal.
He's created us in his own image.
Okay. And based on that, he's personal, we are what?
Created in his image.
Okay, but we're personal beings.
Yes.
And we have characteristics of our personhood. What are they? Do you remember this?
Consciousness.
It's right there in the notes that we went over, the printouts. We have a mind that is conscious and rational. We have a heart that is free and loving and morally responsible. We have what? A soul that longs for meaning and significance.
And so they must not believe in love.
They have to believe, and everyone's going to agree with that. The question then is the desires that come out of our personhood.
Justice.
Rationality, consciousness, love, morality, freedom, meaning, significance.
God,
well, then that those desires that come out of that, they evolution has to meet all those desires. Remember that blank canvas? Everything comes out of that. And either it can understand that those desires and meet those desires, or it cannot. Remember that we hunger, right?
Yes.
But how does evolution answer that?
With food.
With food. We thirst. How does evolution answer that? There's water. We have a sex drive, and there's sex, okay? So we have been evolved into that, but evolution can meet those answers. Okay, answer those desires. Well, what about the desire for meaning and significance and rationality and morality and all of that? Can evolution meet those desires?
No, because they believe they're...
Can it?
No.
So therefore... I mean, for example, just take rationality. What is evolution? We've had a sermon on it. We've gone over it 4, 5, 6 weeks in this class. What is evolution? What?
It's a theory.
It's a theory, but what is it? You have to understand it. To what is it?
It's a related level.
What is it? It's a random chance over periods of billions of years of a single cell organism mutating and evolving and chemicals colliding until we evolve into what we are today. Okay? That is not rational.
No.
It is irrational.
Right.
Okay? But we have what? A desire for rationality. How can something that is irrational produce something that is
rational?
It cannot, because of the law of cause and effect. The effect cannot be greater than the cause. Do you guys remember that? That is all that I have taught you, all that I am looking for. Okay, it is, no. Nobody in here is getting that. And so I put that on me. I've got to figure out a way to connect with you guys so that we get that. And so what else can I do to help you guys get that? I can't force you to write something down. I try to, you know. And so we got. If you want to be able to give a defense for what you believe you believe, these are things you simply need to know. And this is the world that we live in. And you have all the information, and all you are armed to the teeth. And the evolutionist and the atheist is not.
I can't just tell them they're an idiot.
You can't tell them they're an idiot, even though it's true. You can't tell them they're an idiot.
Well,
okay.
What I'm discovering though is that the people I run into might call themselves an atheist, but as soon as I go into an atheist argument, they're not really an atheist. They're much more
exactly.
Of a
sit
pantheist.
Down, Debbie.
They're
thank
much
you.
More pantheist.
Thank that. Thank you, Debbie.
They're much more pantheist.
Right.
Because then they'll say, well, I just don't believe there's one God, or I don't believe that, you know, so you...
Well, usually they morph into, well, how do we know your God is the real God? There's thousands of mouths.
Exactly. They start to twist the good.
The worldview thieves, like I said at the very beginning, right? Right? So your argument begins with, I want everyone to write this down now. Do you believe that human beings are personal beings? That's the first question you ask. In your imaginary conversation, is any rational person going to say?
Yes.
Yes. Now, by personal, I mean, or I define personhood as what? There's a mind and a heart and a soul. A mind, a heart, and a soul. Out of a mind comes what? A desire for... Where your mind is conscious. Conscious, you can write that down. Your mind is conscious or self-aware. And it is rational. Okay? I have a heart that is free. It is loving. And it is morally responsible. A heart that's free. It is loving. And it is morally responsible. And I'll go over those again. And I have a soul that longs for significance and meaning or purpose. Right? You got that down, Brian? You sure? Now the next question you ask is, do you believe in that definition of personhood? And what's the person going to say? For the most part, yeah, they're going to agree with that. Because that is a basic, basic definition of what it means to be a person. Now the next question would be that if you're an atheist and you must believe in evolution then, how does evolution, well, no, the next thing would be, if you're an atheist and you believe in evolution, let's define what evolution is. And basically, it's what?
Chance.
I would say, remember the sermon? It's basically how a single-celled amoeba or organism mutated or evolved into what we see today. Over billions of years through chance. It's random. Random chance over billions of years, we evolved from a single cell organism into what we are today. Does everybody understand that?
A series of millions of chances, really.
You have to say it's random. Why do you have to say it's random?
Because there's no
intention. Because there's no.
It's not rational. It's irrational. It's not rational. It's random. It is chance. Okay?
You'd have to believe there was a God if it wasn't random.
Right.
Somebody had a design.
Right. And you can't say that. They're not saying that, okay? Right? Time. There's billions and billions of years. Anything is possible. The mutations. That's what they are. Now, we know, and it's a proven fact, what happens when things mutate? A cell mutates, what happens to that cell? It goes down. They're saying that mutations go up. Okay? Evolve into something higher. And so the next question then is, how can evolution meet the desires that come out of personhood? And what are those desires? You've just written them down. For the mind, they're what? Consciousness, rationality. Conscious and self-awareness are the same thing. Rationality. The desire for love. The desire for moral responsibility. Desire for freedom. The desire for meaning and significance. Those are desires that come out of a personhood. Does that make sense? You guys follow me? Okay. Don't complicate it. Do you desire to make a difference in this world?
Yes.
Do you desire to be significant? To be something, to have meaning? Okay? You do have that because Don wanted to be an engineer. He was made that way. There's a meaning for that. He could test out, I don't know, this personality test he's going to come up with a desire to make a difference in this world. He's going to do it through being an engineer, let's say. Well, that's him discovering the meaning of his life in one sense. Part of his life is to do that. That's how he was created. Okay? You'll be an IT guy. You know, I'm a pastor. I want to do that. That gives me meaning and significance. Okay? Those things that we all have, where did those desires come from? Where do those desires to understand this world? Make sense of this world that often does not make sense. Where did that come from? Okay? Now we know where it came from, but we're trying to show them that it cannot come from an irrational process over billions of years of chemicals colliding of a single cell organism evolving into what we are today. Okay? Does that make sense? That is it in a nutshell. You could take the complexity of that Rodney said, and that's a fine argument, but what I'm asking you to do is to be able to just, in a conversational way, commit this to memory, this basic outline, and then use it in a conversation. Because the next thing you're going to ask then is what, you know, how can it do that? And you need to be able to explain that, for example, what do you mean that evolution answers the desires of personhood? And you have to be able to explain, we thirst, and there is what? We hunger, and there is? This is what evolution saw that and answered those desires, right? But what about the desires of our personhood? The desire for rationality. How can an irrational chance, random chance process answer those needs? And the answer is, it cannot. And that's the law of cause and effect. the effect has become greater than the cause. And if you understand that and research that and feel like you can answer it, that's fine. It's going to be beyond the average person's thinking, but that's a reality. It is a scientific fact that the effect can never be greater than the cause. Now, the implications of this are severe for the atheist, for the Darwinian or naturalist evolutionist. Get out the paper we just passed out today. Okay? And you should be able to answer these. This is what an atheist must believe. This, is in essence, is what I'm asking you to do to your atheist friend. You're going to ask them and force them to admit that they can never experience love. That will take them back. Because they will argue and say, but I do. And what's your answer to that? Why can they not experience love?
It's a chemical reaction.
There you go.
What?
What is love to an atheist? It's a chemical reaction. Where have they come from? All they are a bunch of chemicals colliding over billions of years to evolve to where they are. There is nothing beyond that blank canvas. Remember that? There's nothing beyond that. There is no God that created them to love, that is the source of love, that gives them the power to love. Love to them is nothing but a chemical reaction. All emotion is nothing but a chemical reaction, because that is the ultimate backdrop, the ultimate reality from which they've come. Love is reduced to a chemical reaction. Does that make sense? And do you think that your atheist friend has ever thought that through? And Marie will tell you, of course not, because there's very few true atheists. So it's very simple in a conversational way that's not meant to be necessarily argumentative. Like, you just say, well, how do you define love? Well, if you're an atheist and the ultimate reality from which you came from is evolution, which is nothing but a bunch of chemicals colliding over time, you know, in one sense, isn't love just a chemical reaction? But if you're created in the image of God, and God is love, and He created you with the capability to love, and that love will exist forever, because that's what you'll do for eternity. And with that love, you experience more love as you love. You know, how is that possible coming from an indifferent brute process called evolution? Does that make sense? You got that, Debbie? You guys got that? Okay. Number two, an atheist must believe that there is no good or evil, right or wrong. We went over this in the book. Why is there no right or wrong, good or evil? Why doesn't it matter if someone cuts them off at the intersection? Okay, there's no what? What? Everything's relative. Okay. There's no standard. Because there must be eventually an ultimate standard, a God that created a standard, but we take him out of the equation, and what's left? There is no evil, good or evil, right or wrong. What example could you write in there? We went over it in the book. I went over it in the sermon last week. Hitler, what did he say? What did he and his followers say about the extermination of the Jews?
It
was good. Why?
They were going to die off their
own. Survival of the fittest. They were living according to their worldview, and they couldn't be judged by that. So you can justify Darwinian evolution has been the base, the background, the basis, and the justification for the extermination of millions of lives through communism, because they don't believe in God. Therefore, there's no standard of right and wrong, and that's what, there is no good or evil, there's no right or wrong. Is that how your atheist friend lives?
No.
No. If you take money from their wallet, they're going to accuse you of stealing. But they logically, if they're going to be a person of integrity, they can't say that's wrong. Does that make sense? And that's not even how society functions. We want to talk about the obstinate hypocrisy. How many people protested the death of George Floyd? Millions. How many of those people do you think were atheists? Most of them. And they're saying that what happened to George Floyd was... You can't say that. An atheist must believe he will cease to exist. This is what Carol dealt with. Why is that? Because what's the end goal? Remember that worldview chart I had you do? The different. What happens? What's the end result for an atheist?
Annihilation.
Good, you're getting that. Good, good, good. Great job. You asked them about that. This is what you are. This is it. There's no reason for you to live a moral life in this world if there's no consequences and you will cease to exist. It's a very uncomfortable thought, but it's a thought nonetheless that they need to begin to, you can gently bring to their attention for them to see. You speak the truth in love. And you begin to see the absurdity of what it means to be an atheist. Okay? Number four, an atheist must believe his life has no purpose. Explain that to me. What would you say to your friend and say that their life has no purpose? Has no meaning, has no significance.
It leads nowhere.
Argue that to me. What would you say to them? That their life has no purpose. And these are powerful statements that need to be handled gently, but this is a reality for these people that believe this.
Because the end result of your existence is extinction.
Yeah, there you go. That's one way of looking at it. Absolutely. You're going to cease to exist. So what purpose do you have?
There's nothing you can do to change that.
What?
So if there's nothing you can do to change that, why live now?
Why live now? That's why, therefore, if this is true, that if your life has no purpose, then logically you take it to... Its conclusion, then
eat, drink, and be merry.
Be a hedonist, get as much pleasure out of life, because that is it. That's what how you should be living your life. But they don't do that, do they? There are people who are atheists that still teach some sort of moral ethics to their children. Why in the world would you do that? Because it's what? Survival of the fittest. Power always wins. You must fight, you must kill, and the strong survive. So your life has no purpose. There's nothing beyond this life. The only thing you should be doing is to be a hedonist, and then in the end, die. I would take my life with a bullet to the head, because I wouldn't want to experience any pain. So suicide is a rational conclusion for an atheist. It matters not what you do in this life. It matters not what anyone does to you. Number five, an atheist must believe this world is irrational. Why is this world irrational? Yes and no. If they study any sort of science, they cannot say that this world is irrational. Because it is rational, because it's made in the image of God. God created. Things make sense. Okay? E equals mc squared. Was it energy equals mass times the speed of light? Or the C is the speed of light. M is mass, right? E is energy. Yeah. How did that come to be?
It was discovered.
Did he create that? Did he think it up? Or did he discover it was already true?
He discovered it was true.
Einstein discovered it was already true because God created a very rational world. Okay? So, if this world is irrational, and yet we have this longing for rationality, but the world ultimately is irrational, they have to agree with that. that things just happen and there's no explanation for it. But we know that isn't true. But they have to admit that.
DNA proves that the world is crap.
I understand that, but they're not living in that reality and they don't even know that. I didn't even know that. Okay? But again, I keep going back to Marie's point because I've dealt with this before. They really don't believe what they believe. But you still need to know what you believe and be able to defend it. What Darwin did, what I said to you in the sermon, and what you know we've talked about in this class, is that he was determined to live a life without God and accountability to a higher God. That was the whole reason why he wrote that book, and that's what these people are doing. They put their head in the sand and pretend God doesn't exist, and they want to live their life their own way without logically thinking through what the consequences are of that sort of lifestyle. And nobody lives according to a true atheistic lifestyle. Does this make sense? Are you guys getting this? Okay. Then what Rodney kind of pointed at was that under realities an atheist must live with is that human nature becomes completely unexplainable. Do you understand that? How is human nature unexplainable?
It's all just chemical reactions. Then why are you friends with anybody? Why do you bother talking to anybody? Why do you bother socializing?
Well, so it becomes unexplainable because if you have these desires that come out of your personhood and those desires cannot be met by evolution, which they can't, then how did I get where I am today? How did we evolve to such a higher form that went beyond the bounds of what evolution can do? I don't understand why I'm here then. Does that make sense? We've evolved beyond the abilities of evolution. I can't understand why I love, even though love doesn't exist. It's a chemical reaction. I can't understand why I long for rationality, but it's an irrational world. I can't understand why I long to make a difference in this world, have meaning and significance, because in the end, ultimately, what's going to happen? Annihilation, that's the end goal. You are, none of that makes sense. And then a logical conclusion of that is that human existence, their very lives, our very lives, we are nothing but a product of a cruel, sick, cosmic joke. I long, it's like I'm a fish out of water, longing for water, and water never existed. That's what the desires of our personhood do. I long for rationality. I long for meaning. I long to love. I long for all of those things. Those needs can never be met. I'm like a fish out of water that longed for water and water never existed. Therefore, my human existence, the life that I live, is nothing but a cruel, sick, cosmic joke. I'm a tortured freak of nature. Does that make sense? All those words are chosen carefully. You're tortured because you long for something, it'll never be here. And that, by the way, is hell. People in hell are tortured. They're going to long for relief from the pain and suffering. Will it ever come? No, it will not. The guy longed for just to have a touch of water to come down on his tongue because he's in agony. He has that desire for that, and it will never come. Hell will be where the atheist is forced to live out what they believe. And that's just a part of it. They're going to long for those things because they're creating an image of God and they're never going to have those desires satisfied. So they're tortured. They're a freak of nature. They've gone beyond evolution, beyond the limits of evolution. They're a freak. That's what a freak is. You are totally different beyond understanding. And you're a tortured freak of nature. And you're a cruel, sick cosmic joke because you have to come from the cosmos because that's what evolution says. There is no God. So, Marie, come up here for a second. You know you don't want to? No? No. Or that, can I talk to you then where you're sitting?
You can talk to me where I'm sitting.
Okay, how would you then argue what we went over as best you can remember to a friend what I've taught you?
Well, ask the first question.
Okay. Do you believe that human beings are personal beings?
Am I the atheist?
No, but that's how you'd begin that question.
That's awesome, right?
Yeah.
Do you believe that
I would say yes.
And what if they say...
Define personhood.
Define personhood, exactly. Yeah. And then I would say that, you know...
Three things. A mind.
A mind, a soul.
And a heart.
And a heart.
And the desires that come out of the mind are what? Just think rationality, right? Your rational mind.
Right,
okay. Because that is what you use to counter an irrational process
right.
of evolution.
Exactly.
Out of the heart, what desires are there?
The heart is choice. No.
Let's just do this as a class. Out of heart, what comes out of that to help Marie out? Love.
Love.
Love. There's a sense of, what I mean by moral responsibility. If someone does something wrong, the whole George Floyd thing, there's a longing for justice. That comes from a heart. Yeah, and freedom. We're free. We love to make our own choices. We're not forced to make certain, we're not robots.
Morally responsible.
Yeah, okay.
What?
The fact that they're standing up to argue for Floyd is like, why are you doing that if it's survival of the fittest?
Exactly.
Obviously, in that instance, the cops were more fit than him. So why are you?
Why do you care? Why is that unfair?
Why even you're arguing with me
Good.
To try and convince me against Christianity if you don't care?
So what are the needs that come out of your soul? Roger?
Long.
You should write down your notes. It should be right there.
Meaning.
Purpose. Significance. All of that. In other words, those desires, I'll make it simple, rationality from the mind, love from the heart, and significance or meaning from the soul, you tie that back to evolution, and evolution is irrational. It is unloving. That's survival of the fittest. Okay, and then goal is annihilation. Your life has no meaning. Therefore, how do those desires get met out of evolution? And the answer is, they cannot. And the result then is
tortured
freak of nature, your cruel, sick cosmic joke. That, in essence, is the outline form of the argument. Does that make sense and help you guys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not saying I can stand up there again and do it, but I can understand it.
It makes sense.
You're right.
It does make sense. It makes sense.
And I want you to tailor it as you understand it, but those are the basics you have to have. Okay, and he threw in a bunch of good stuff. I just didn't want to go that complex with you guys. I wanted to keep it pretty simple with this, okay? And I totally agree, and I've heard the argument before. You walk down a beach and you see all this sand, and all of a sudden you see a Timex watch. Either it was put there by another source, intelligent design, or it evolved over billions and billions of years because anything is possible. What do you think? Okay. The human eye is so complex, it's just, there's no way it could evolve.
It's a watch to shame, actually.
Right. So, does that make sense? Roger?
If I'm sure, if people really believe that life is a cosmic joke, there has to be a cosmic God to cause that.
Well, they don't believe in God, but we would believe.
Punchline.
But we don't believe. They don't believe in God, but we don't believe that life is a cosmic joke. That we're created by God for a purpose, and God set the standard, and that's of course the reality of the standard. In terms of you want more responsibility, well, there needs to be justice. Where does the standard for justice come from in our society? The Ten Commandments. Every society basically operates out of that. Where'd that come from? Through Moses, from God. Okay, and that's reality. Okay?
Yeah.
Now they're trying to live a world without reality. And they've according to the atheist worldview. It's called defund the police. They're changing all those laws. So what happens to criminals?
Nothing.
Our cars were broken into in our garage this on Wednesday. Someone broke into Lee's car, got the garage opener, got in our garage, went through our cars. Okay, called the police, did fingerprints and everything, and they said that the police officer basically said if we get a match, it's just almost impossible for us to do anything because of the way the laws are written. But it's so funny too because I said, well, I guess I could just not fix my garage door and put my two German Shepherds in the garage, and he laughed, so that wouldn't end well for them. But he didn't say don't do that because, you know, they might get injured or whatever. I mean, the police officers probably, I think they want there to be consequences for these people because that's what they're there to do. They're God's pastors. They're ministers of God's justice. They're the sword. And so, yeah. In one sense, they're trying to live out that whole thing. Well, here's what's happening now. It's so bad in Portland that Nike shut down one of their stores on July or November 17th. I don't know if they opened up or not because there's so much crime. Small businesses are fleeing. They had this one small business I saw the other day, 15 break-ins. After the third break-in, insurance is no longer paying. We can't afford to, we have to shut this down and either do something else or take this business to another city. That's what happens. That's survival of the fittest, right?
Yeah.
And of course, we don't want that. So, did you guys write that down? We will have to go over it again, so I will have you come up here again and go over this stuff so you have it. And I don't care the other nuances you have that you put into it, the basics you need to know. Okay? So you have, it's so funny too because it's, and I am this, exactly the same as you are. I had you read a chapter on it. Then we discussed it. Then we've gone over it, and we've written it down, and you've heard it lectured, and how much of it sticks, you know? And so I'm trying something different here, a little on-the-job training, and that's why I no longer believe in the American education system, classroom settings, taking notes and stuff like that. I knew then that I knew now, unless you have a very specific field where you're forced to apply what you have. I mean, basically, everything I learned, I had to be retaught when I started my first job. Right?
So, yeah.
And so we got to find a way to get this in us and use it.
The way my job teaches you is they do the lectures on the stuff, but you immediately do practical.
Yeah.
You know, you work on the equipment so you reinforce what you just read about.
Right, right.
And you learn how to use it.
I mean, I think like people like Don and your degree and Erica's degree, where it's so specific and then they keep you tested on that stuff on up on it over the years. You have to know that stuff. If you're a business management major like me,
we all have to bring some atheists in. You don't really see what you know.
Yeah.
Really, you know, when you get into a situation, I mean, I don't know about other people, but when I get into a situation, you may think I don't remember anything, but if you were sitting on the sidelines,
it might come back to you. Right.
I do remember things. It's just in that situation,
right.
It's there. The information comes back.
Right.
So.
And sometimes they draw upon something that you pull this teaching out of because they've touched on it, and that's where you go with it.
Well, unless you are copiously taking notes, and very few of you do, then you're not getting it. So I'm attempting to get you to take notes by having you write stuff down and then write your own little version of it and so on, and then we practice it and so on and so forth. And all I'm trying to do is help us learn how to defend our faith. Give it reason why we believe. Okay? And the rest is up to you and your walk with the Lord and you and trusting God to put people in your path that you can. You know, I don't have the influence over the people that Marie has or that Rodney has. I've got my influence here and that's it. And then the neighbors I reach out to and that's it. Does that make sense? Any questions? Okay, good. We'll get this down. It's not, and I say to you, it was hard for me to understand this as well, and I've been read it and taught it and so on, and so don't beat yourself up. We're going to get it, okay? Yes. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Bless us as we prepare our hearts to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.